Well, the Lord be with you. Well, last week we saw Jesus enter Jerusalem to save the world from their sins. And we heard the crowds crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And since then, we've seen that so much has taken place. On Monday, he went to the temple and cleansed it, flipping the tables and calling the people of Israel to proper worship, to seek the Lord in prayer. On Tuesday, he began to have the temple controversies where they were debating with Jesus. The religious leaders were trying to catch him in his words. However, he continued to speak truth. Then he gives his disciples the Olivet Discourse, letting them know what is about to take place, how he knows eventually the temple will be destroyed, but eventually the Son of Man will return in his glory. Then on Wednesday, we see that Christ is betrayed by Judas Iscariot, one of his 12 disciples. And on Thursday, he returns with these guards to arrest him in the night. At that point, Jesus, though waking up Thursday morning, does not fall asleep again until he dies on the cross on Friday. But during that evening of Thursday, going into Friday morning, he is questioned. He is mocked, he's slapped, he's spit on. Then Friday, we see that he is condemned to death, being scourged by the cat of nine tails, being crucified with a crown of thorns on his head, and spending hours in agony on the cross for our sins. And then Friday evening, before Shabbat or Sabbath, they put him in a borrowed tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. And then Saturday, being Shabbat, they can't do anything. So they just have to sit there, the disciples who have been scattered at this point as Jesus was being arrested, weeping, mourning, feeling nothing but despair and utter and complete hopelessness. We come to Sunday morning. And we rejoice because of Sunday morning. Because the story doesn't end with Friday or Saturday. And thank God that our story does not end on Friday or Saturday. Because on Sunday morning, we see that the Gospels record in unison how the women, early in the morning, before the dawn, go to the tomb. They go to honor and anoint the body of their Lord who has died on the cross. And as they are going there, they don't even know exactly how and who will move the stone for them, because with their grief, they haven't even thought logically or rationally how this is going to work. But they say, "We're going to go anyway." And we know through the Gospels that at some point, angels appear. And the stone is rolled away. And when they get there, God has already provided for them a view of the empty tomb. And as they go there, they hear these beautiful words that we just continue to hear echoed. "He is not here. He is risen. Come and see." And so then they hear these words. They're comforted by the angels who said, "Do not fear, do not be afraid, but go and tell the others." And from that moment on, we hear how Christ is risen throughout the nations and how Christ began to appear to many different people, to all of the disciples, to the women, to 500, to his brothers, to his persecutors. We see that Jesus begins to show himself as the risen Christ and risen Lord. And so that is what we are celebrating this morning. We celebrate Easter because Christ is risen. And so for the time, what I want us to do is just to meditate and to rejoice in the implications, the significance of what does it mean to say that he is risen. And so normally I would be in one specific text in the morning, and I would invite you to turn there with me and we would work through that text together. But as you saw, there's many texts that cover this. And so I'm going to kind of be referencing some of those, and I'm going to start to pull some other texts throughout Scripture that give us some more light on this monumental moment in history, the greatest moment in history. But as we think about saying He is risen, what does that mean for our souls? Well, the first thing that He is risen means is that Christ is King. I love in these gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke how they all say to the women, just as He said. You notice that, how it says Jesus had been telling them this is what was going to happen. Christ was never out of control during this entire Passion Week. He knew exactly what He was about to do. And so He says He was going to die and rise. And then we see He rose just as He said He would. And if Christ is risen, then that means He is who He said He was. So all we have to do is go back to the Gospels and say, what were the Gospel writers trying to convey to us? Who is He? Well, He is the Lord. Christ is the Messiah, the promised King. That is who Christ is. But if He wasn't raised from the dead, then He wouldn't be King. Who would Christ be if He was not risen? Well, He would be another false prophet and another messianic pretender. That's all He would be. And there are many of those throughout history. But you notice we don't see a lot of people praising their names every year, every Sunday, their entire life. We don't see those names written and recorded in history. Rather, we see one name above all other names, and that is King Jesus. And this resurrection, then, it shows us the fact that He truly is that King. And everything that He said, everything that He promised, is true then. Because He has the authority to make it so. And that's why this resurrection is so important for our faith. In fact, we know that there is no Christianity without the resurrection. Paul records this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, where he says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." That's why this day is so important, so powerful. Because there is no King. There is no faith. There is no worth of me preaching or us having any type of hope if Christ is not risen. But if He is, and He's King, and He has authority, and He makes promises to us, that changes literally everything. Our entire lives are shifted upon this moment in history. In fact, I've heard a quote where it says that the resurrection was the Father's amen to the Son's "it is finished." See, Jesus on the cross says, "It is finished. Your sins, your shame, death, all of that has been defeated." And then the resurrection comes and God says, "Amen to that. Let it be." It's so. It's true. Everything Christ promises us through His life, death, and resurrection is coming true in this world. And because of that, His royal majesty is no longer a secret. If you look at the Gospels, you'll notice there's multiple times where Jesus will perform a miracle or He'll do something miraculous and He'll say, "Don't tell anyone." And He wasn't letting a lot of the people know who truly He was, that He really was the King. But then on Palm Sunday, He came, finally, humbly, to say clearly who He was. He says, "I am the prophesied King of Zechariah 9. I am the suffering servant. I am the one you've been hoping for, praying for. I am He." And then the resurrection says, "It's proven now." And it's so proven that even His brothers and persecutors came to believe in Him. Can you believe that? This is miraculous evidence for the resurrection. What would it take for you to claim that your brother or sister, or if you don't have a sibling, someone else in your family that, you know, doesn't have it all together all the time, what would it take for you to confess that they are your Lord, or that they are your King, and you're going to submit to them and their lordship? What would it take? Because we have James and Jude who claim Christ is King. He is the Lord of glory, above all names. Or what about when it comes to the persecutors like the Apostle Paul? He was someone that was adamantly going to kill Christians. He literally got joy out of getting them to blaspheme, to renounce Christ before they would be imprisoned or killed, because he would torture them. It would be like a modern day version of a well-known political figure, or maybe even like think of a terrorist leader, and then saying, I'm relinquishing all that I stood for. I am repenting and humbly, I am worshiping him as king. That's literally what's happening with Paul here. He says, I saw Christ risen. And what does Paul say whenever he sees him on the Damascus Road? Lord, King. He is confessing that Christ being risen means he is the King. And there is no other King like Jesus. There is no one comparable to King Jesus. In fact, we know because of his resurrection, we know that his kingdom will last forever. How do you end a kingdom where the king never dies? And if you put him in the grave, he's going to get out on the third day. See, this is why his kingdom will last forever. He is an eternal king. All the other kings, all of these other religious leaders, denominations you can think of, they are in the grave. And they're not coming back until Christ says get up. Christ is the only one who can, on his own authority, rise from the dead. And that leads to not only is his kingdom lasting forever, he has all authority. In Matthew 28:18, this is his great commission that he's giving to the disciples before he ascends to the right hand of the Father in heaven. He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. His authority spans throughout all space and time, every dimension. Christ has authority. What king has authority in heaven? What king has had authority over the entire globe? No one but King Jesus. His kingdom will last forever. He has all authority spanning over heaven and earth. And he is perfectly righteous. He's not just a conquering king, a violent king. He is a king who is perfectly just and good, and he loves you. And he wants nothing but the very best for you. In Isaiah 53, we saw that he suffered for you. Suffered for your peace and for your spiritual and physical healing. That is why Christ came. That is the type of king that I can worship. That's a king I want to get behind. And that's why we know one day it's going to happen where every knee will bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That means you are going to bow and you are going to confess it. The only thing is, when you hear that, are you comforted by it? Or are you convicted by it? Christ is a great king. He loves you. He has all authority. And it's going to be forever. Do you want to be on his side? I know I do. Him being risen means he is king. That's the first thing. The next thing that I think we learn from him being risen is that eternal life is a reality. See, Jesus proves to us that there is life after death. Contrary to certain scientists and skeptics who think that you are simply nothing but matter, and that whenever you go to the grave, that's it, you just become a lot of nothingness, Jesus says there's something after this. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to trust the guy who dies and gets back up over some scientist who says, well, we don't see anything after that. I'm going to trust the guy who died and rose from the dead and says, I'm going to do this before it even happens. I'm going to trust that guy. See, Jesus proves there is life after death. And in fact, it's so important that when the stone is rolled away, by the way, it wasn't so Jesus could get out. We actually see that in the Gospels that he can pass through walls. He can ascend and fly. He can just teleport and do whatever he wants. He can be solid. He can be immaterial. He's God. But the thing is, when we think about the empty tomb, It was meant for us. It was so that we could look in and have faith and say, He is not there. He is proving to us. And if that wasn't enough, there are so many numerous eyewitness accounts of the risen Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 8, just listen to this list. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, that's Simon Peter, then by the 12, after that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. See, people are still alive talking about this right now. But some have fallen asleep. And after that, He was seen by James, that's His brother, then by all the apostles, then last of all, He was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. This is written by the apostle Paul, the one who hated Christians and was persecuting Christ. So many people said, we saw Jesus, and we know what happens to many of them. They don't recant. You know, with the Watergate scandal, there were some that were trying to keep up appearances and keep up the specific lie, and they couldn't even do it for very long. These individuals profess Christ as King and that He rose from the dead, and none of them are recorded as ever recanting because they knew it was true, and they knew that He offered eternal life. And if it's true, that means that His resurrection guarantees your resurrection. Because He rose, that means you get to rise. And I actually made this point, eternal life is a reality, because it's true that there's also eternal death as a reality. We all will be raised. The question is, who will you be with? Will you be raised to eternal life, or will you be raised to eternal death? But in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 22, it says, But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in him, as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. This is the promise that Christ is the first fruits. You know what that means? He's the beginning. Not the end. He is the first type of what it means to be resurrected in a glorified body. Just like Christ was able to do all these amazing things, I believe that we also will be made like that. Incorruptible, glorified bodies, able to serve and worship the Lord and to love and be with one another forever. That's the promise. That's our hope. We're not going to be floaty ghosts in heaven forever. We are going to be physical and spiritual creatures with God forever. Because He is risen, we too will be risen. As we just think about all of the Scriptures that describe eternity in heaven with God and with His people, we see that this present age is not even comparable to eternity. Paul even says that the things that I have seen and the things that I heard, I can't express them in language. Have you ever had something just amazing happen in your life? And you're like, that's just one of the best moments of my whole life. Maybe it was your marriage or your wedding day. Maybe it was the birth of one of your children. Or maybe there's something else in your mind going to a specific place. You felt so alive. It cannot compare to the glory that is to come. There, no matter how happy you were, multiply that by infinity and then you're getting maybe not even close, basically. That's what it's like. We can't even fathom how amazing eternal life is going to be. But Christ made it possible. It is a reality. We should be so excited when we imagine that this is really happening for us. And it's not just something we have to wait for on the last day. We have eternal life at this very moment. If you are in Christ, because of the resurrection, you possess eternal life right now. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ is the resurrection and the life. Are you in Christ? Then you are in the resurrection. You have been raised from the dead spiritually. And you now have, you are a partaker of that life. Likewise, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have eternal life right now in Christ. And this life is what I mean by life in the fullest sense of the word. It's abundant life. The greatest type of life. When we submit to Christ as Lord and we live out His commandments, you will feel what it's like to truly have peace and satisfaction. Paul can say, I am content in all things. Why? Not because of his circumstances, because of the life that Christ gives him. That's what we see. Life in the fullest. John 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So this is not only a quantitative life, right? It expands or spans forever, but it's also a qualitative. The quality of our life is greater, it's eternal, it's abundant, it's resurrection life. And so you then can experience Christ's kingdom in your midst today. We wait for its full consummation, but you can actually experience the kingdom realities in your life, in your homes, in your church, in your communities today. You just have to believe and obey and seek the Lord. He will give you life abundant. So we see that Christ is King. We see eternal life is a reality. And the final thing that I want to share with you all this morning is because Christ is risen, anything is now possible. Anything is possible. The resurrection literally changed everything. Think about the women. Think about the disciples. Think about how they were hopeless. They were despairing. The women, they're crying as they're going to the tomb. And then whenever they get there, like they don't even know what to do. They even fall to the ground, it says, at one point. And the angels literally have to comfort them and say, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Why? Because the circumstances have changed. Christ isn't dead anymore. Christ is alive. And so Christ being alive then means you have nothing to fear. What are you struggling with? What are you anxious about right now? Are you reminding yourself of the reality of the resurrection? Christ is over it all. He changed. They went from hopelessness and despair and fear, and now in light of the resurrection, they are now forgiven, free, and forever loved by God. And so are you. Live in that reality. You are forgiven, free, and loved by God. And with Christ, then all things are possible. So we should never lose hope in this world. Never lose hope in this life. And it's just amazing to think about how much changed in 7 days. A lot can change for you in 7 days when Christ is in it. It went from hopelessness, from Palm Sunday, to everything else we saw this week, to victory forevermore. A lot can change in a week. A lot can change in a weekend. With Christ, all things are possible. That's why Christ says in Matthew 19:26, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Do you really believe anything is possible? Revival can break out right now. People can be saved. You can be freed from your addictions. You can be comforted of your anxiety. You can have peace, shalom, victory. Do you believe this? Because if you don't, it's because you're looking at man. You're looking at yourself saying, I can't do that. I've never seen it happen. It's because you're not looking to God. Look to Christ. Look at His resurrection and say, anything is possible. That's what we see. With Christ, all things are possible. Nothing can stop Christ. That's what resurrection is. Nothing stopped Him. Christ defeated sin, the devil, his demons, and death, the final enemy. He defeated everything. So what are you afraid of? Oh, my electric bill? My credit score? Christ is bigger than all of these things. I'm not saying that we don't really care about these matters, but Christ can, He can do things in our lives. Anything is possible with Christ. And the final thing I want to share with this is when we think that anything is possible with Christ, we are reminded as believers that the Spirit of Christ lives in you. So if anything is possible with Christ, and if you are a believer, and the Spirit of Christ lives in you, what does that mean? Anything is possible wherever you go. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to do whatever we want, whenever we want it, but we have to know that in faith, anything could happen. all for the glory of God and for the good of humanity. Anything can happen. I want to close with these verses. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." The same power, the same presence when Christ was raised is with you right now. And if you don't know Christ, it can be with you right now. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You can do anything through Christ because He is all-powerful with all authority, the author of eternal life, and the one who makes all things possible. So that's my challenge, is live in this reality from this day forward. Easter is not just one day. Easter is our reality as Christians. Every single day we can remind ourselves, He is risen. And we can go and tell other people, He is risen, and show them, what does that mean? It means He's King. It means eternal life is a reality and anything is possible. That's what we are called to do. And here's the one thing I just want to challenge you not to do. Don't hear this reality. Don't be in the tomb yourself and see the stone roll away and decide to just stay laying there. Some of you have been set free and have been resurrected, but you still are sitting in the tomb and just playing with the chains. Don't be like that. You have victory in Christ. You have freedom in Christ. You have that forgiveness and that love. Live in His life for you, what He has for you. Live in the truth of the gospel. So let us believe in that power and trust in that promise. Let us pray. Father, we love You so much, and we thank You for the greatest day in history where Christ was vindicated through His resurrection. Death could not hold Him. The devil and the demons could not stop Him. In Christ, we have it all. Christ alone is sufficient for our lives, for our souls, for everything that we think or do. Christ is enough. And let us walk in victory today as we see our victorious, risen Lord and Savior. Christ is King. And in His name we pray. Amen.